Give the Lord a cheer. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Got some new faces tonight. Got some regular. Another one we had here last night. It looks like we had some that didn't make it tonight. I hope it's just because they couldn't make it. If you love the Lord, say praise God.
Praise God.
Last night, we put forth just a little bit of a smorgasbord, just tapped upon some stuff. As we go through these next 2 weeks, we're going to get into some stuff that's pretty heavy. Some of the things are going to make people mad. They're going to get angry at me, or they're going to get angry at the church, or they're going to get angry at themselves, but they're going to get mad. There's been a lot of garbage preached out here as gospel, and it's not the gospel. I'm going to tell you what the gospel is. Want me to tell them, Steve? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. Anything beyond that is not the gospel. People go out here and they preach all kinds of stuff out here to the world. We're not supposed to do that. We preach the gospel. And then we're supposed to take those people that God gives us and we're to weed the garden. Get the weeds. Not plant the weeds. Get rid of them. Amen. Amen. What do you got for me?
Praise the Lord, hallelujah.
That'll work. You know, we had some kids come by here the last few days. They like to holler stuff out like Satan rules. Well, if any of them are listening, I know Satan is. I got news for you, children. Satan's a punk. And the only people that believe in him are other punks. Punks attract punks. Amen?
Amen.
You know, there's something that lays in the ground in some fields that attracts flies. Punks are like flies. They're attracted by that stuff. But I want you to know that God is real. He's alive. And He reigns. And He reigns in me. And He reigns in some of you. He wants to reign in all of you. And when He reigns in all of you, then you know what this song really means. Because Satan is nothing. Without fear, he is nothing. The children of darkness have fear. Children of light know not fear. You either have love, which comes from God above, or you have fear. If you have love, you can't have fear. It's just like you can't have darkness when there's light. Have you ever noticed that light chases out the darkness, but darkness cannot penetrate against the light? The light is like the love of God. The love of God comes in and chases darkness out. Chases the fear out. Chases the worry out. Chases the doubts out. Replaces it with perfect love. Joy. Peace. Long suffering. Patience. All that good stuff. Amen? Now I want to explain something about peace. When I say peace, I ain't talking about that warm and fuzzy feeling that everybody wants. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to give you a warm and fuzzy feeling. He said, I promise you tribulation. But don't worry about it, children, because I've overcome. Lord, come to me one night and said, Richard, what are you doing? I said, I ain't doing nothing. Well, how are you doing? I said, okay, under the circumstances. He said, what are you doing under there? Don't you know I've overcome the world? You know, it took me 2 weeks to figure out what he was trying to tell me. I ain't too tight wrapped sometimes. But I did learn, finally, that if Jesus has overcome the world, and I be hid in Christ, what am I doing right now? I'm stepping on that old world. Those old earthbound demons. Let's do some demon stomping, son.
Praise God.
glorify his name. Praise God. Hallelujah. I ain't ready to quit singing yet. I want to sing some more. I want to chase some more devils off. Hallelujah. Y'all be seated for a minute. Praise God. This revival is about crossing over the River Jordan. And why so many people don't even know what I'm talking about, and why so many people have never been able to experience it. Paul, you've heard me speak about it for years, and you didn't have a clue what I was talking about. Not a clue. And then one time he decided, I'm going to go up there with him on a revival and just find out what he's talking about. Told you what it'd be like. Now, I only promised him a hard time and one meal a day. In fact, that's all I promised any of these guys, isn't it? See, I'll be nice to them. I'm not nice to you. Amen? Oh, I'm nice to John, but he don't give me any trouble. Do you know I'm easy to get along with?
Amen.
Tell them how easy I am to get along with, Rick.
It's tremendously easy. You're tremendously easy to get along with.
That's right.
Absolutely. Just
ask my wife. Isn't that true? Aren't I easy to get along with? Cheryl, my daughter.
That might be stretching it. I said it's easy.
Now, see,
it's
Cheryl.
Easy to get along with.
We're wanting truth here now. Now, Rick, you tell them what the key is to get along with me.
Just do everything you say to do.
Amen. See, that's fair. Huh?
Amen.
It's fair. I told Cheryl one time, she said, Daddy, that's not fair. I said, what are you talking about? When you're a daddy, you can say the same thing. She said, but I'll never be a daddy. I said, that's right. That's fair. You ever realize that fair is a relative term? Fair is just what you feel. As long as you're getting your way and getting to do what you want to do, it's fair. But when it's not getting your way and things are rubbing you the wrong way, then you say it's not fair. I had a guy come up to me one day and said, Preacher, you rub me the wrong way. I said, no, you don't. No, I don't. He said, oh, yes, you do. I said, oh, no, I don't. He said, oh, yes, you do. I said, no, no, I don't. He said, yes, you do. I said, no, I don't. I could go all day long like that. It didn't bother me any. Well, he said, well, what do you mean you don't? That's what I was waiting for. I said, I'm rubbing you the right way, buddy. You just turned the wrong way. Huh? You know, we do the same thing with God. Snuck that one in, didn't I? God, you're not being fair to me. Yes, I am. But Lord, I want you to... I don't care what you want. You got to love the Lord. Kids play nice. That's what he wants. Wants us to love one another. Wants us to love him. I want to tell you a few things. I don't know what order they're going to come in, because, see, I don't sit out here and prepare these things. I've been doing this for what, Ann? Since 72. How many years is that?
28.
28 years. And since two months after I started, I have never written down a sermon. Never prepared one. Why? Because if I do that, then I'm going to give you what I know and what I want to do. But if I just come in here and pray and say, okay, Lord, pour it in that I can pour it out, he knows what's in your hearts. I don't. Sometimes he tells me to say things. I say, Lord, are you sure about that? You sure I should say that? Don't run that person off. He says, that's all right. Maybe I want him run off. Huh? You know this tenet about numbers?
Amen.
Never has been, never will be. I've taken this tent and the crew to preach to one person when I knew there was only going to be one person. We took it to Dallas, Georgia, for one man, and spent 5 weeks with the tent up, chasing devils off, until we broke that spirit over that town and demolished that government. Government, the sheriff's department, the police department, the town council were all involved in drugs, selling and marketing drugs. We broke it. How do we break it? Go down there and beat them upside the head? No. The power of God. Children, you don't have a clue what the power of God's like. You don't have a clue. You realize that as a Christian, I have more power in my little finger than an atom bomb, than a 50 megaton hydrogen bomb? Do you realize if you believe in Jesus Christ, that in your little finger, you have that same power? Think of that a minute. You have the power in your little finger to destroy or create. Now, can he trust you with it? One time I thought he could. He showed me he couldn't. Y'all remember the parable? Well, actually, when the parable is a true story. The lawyer came to Jesus. Said, Lord, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Jesus said, what does the law say? How readest thou? Y'all remember this? Said, love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, soul, heart, mind, and body. Love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, you answer well. Go and do likewise. Then the lawyer wanted to justify himself, but said, but Lord, who's my neighbor? And then he heard that. And Jesus told him a story. It was a true story. It wasn't a parable. It was a true story. So there was a certain man. That's how you know it wasn't a parable. It was a certain man. That means a particular person. On his way to Jericho, fell among thieves, and they beat him up and left him for dead. And along comes a priest. And he sees the man, and he just turns his head and walks by. That's your average today preacher. Then along came the Pharisee. He took one look at him, crossed to the other side of the street, and walked on by. That's your average today churchgoer. Say, oh, preacher, we're not like that. Well, what do you say in your heart when you see a prostitute? What do you say in your heart when you see a drug addict? What do you say in your heart when you see some old drunkard's laying on the gutter with puke all over him? What do you say about that man? I guarantee you, there are a lot of people in this tent tonight that either are or have been that Pharisee. I was. Huh? Anyway, he's left for dead and wounded, and along comes a Samaritan. You know what a Samaritan is? Would be like today a flatlander. Me, flatlander. Now, I understand if being a flatlander ain't as bad down here in New Hampshire, but boy, you get up in Vermont. How many years did we live there? 12 years. They used to call me a flatlander. At the end of 12 years, I said, thank God it still shows. Down south, they got another name. And in some of the northern states, too. Starts with an N. It's a hated person. A hated person. Came along, picked that guy up, tended his wounds, took him to an inn. Told the innkeeper, here's some money for him. You take care of him. When I get back, if there's anything owed, I'll pay that too. Then Jesus said to the lawyer, he said, now who was a neighbor to that man? He said, the Samaritan. He said, you go to the same. Now that sounds real good if you say it fast, but how many people really know what it means? See, I was that man on the side of the road that was beat up by the thieves and robbed. I was robbed of faith. I was robbed of health. I was robbed of happiness. I was robbed of strength. I was robbed of eyesight. Anybody understand what I'm saying? What was it Jesus said? The thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So it was Jesus who came, that hated word of the world. You go out here in the world, talk about God all day long, they don't care. Tell them his name, and they get all bent out of shape. It was that Jesus character that the world hates that took pity on me. And he bound up my wounds, and he took me to a preacher. He said, I paid the price. Now you take care of him. And I like the next part. He said, when I come back, if he owes any more, I'll take care of that too. Boy, I wish somebody get a hold of that. I mean, somebody really got a hold of that. That too deep. You could get a hold. That means not only did he pay the price of everything I've done and everything that I had been up to that point, he's prepared to pay the price for everything I do from that point until he returns. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Pope. Now, if somebody's going to say, oh, Richard hates the Catholics. No, I don't. I love Catholics. I just hate the church. It's a lie. Teaching you that Jesus only died for original sin. You've got to pay for the rest yourself in purgatory. That is an abominable lie. All right, so Jesus is the Samaritan that paid the price for me, and he's going to pay whatever price needs to be paid when he returns. Amen?
Amen.
So who is my neighbor?
Jesus.
So I take the love that Jesus Christ has given to me, and when he has bound me up, I go find others to bind up in his name. In his name. You know what that means? Christians use that term all the time. I pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, I come before thee in the name of Jesus. And I pray. And they don't have a clue what they're saying. They don't have a clue. You know, when I pray in the stead of Jesus. That's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. You pray as if you were standing there for him yourself. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who has authority to represent someone. Amen? As a Christian, you are an ambassador. You have authority given to you. Use it. Don't let some stupid preacher tell you you can't. Just because he's afraid to doesn't mean you can't. Amen? You ever wonder why preachers use these things? We got it sitting here just in case we get one comes in and wants to use it. Also, I get to have fun with it. Have you noticed to look at me, you got to look up? That's a subliminal thing that they use. You didn't know that? Subliminally, when I stand behind this pulpit, I'm saying I'm better than you are. That you need to look up to me because I'm closer to God than you are. That's why I like to stand out here. See? Because I learned a little secret a long time ago. God showed me grace. Showed me what that grace was. Imagine, if you will, an ocean. And God's perfect plan for you is to be on top of that ocean. But you're walking on the bottom of the ocean. Now, some people are walking on the bottom of the ocean and water's into their knees. Some are walking, it's right over their heads. Some are walking, it's a mile over their heads. But whether it's over their knees or over a mile over their heads, they're still in the water, right? And that water is the grace of God. So it doesn't matter if you're a mile lower than I am. You're still just as close to God as I am. Somebody understanding this? Now you want me to finish what I was going to say about peace, Gail? Thought I forgot about it. Jesus said, I'm not gonna promise you peace. I promise you tribulation in this world. So the world wants this peace that's a peace of feelings. Feelings get you in trouble. Feelings got me in trouble a long time ago. One of them things with long hair, earrings, walk kind of nice, you know. Feelings tried to get you in trouble a few times, haven't they, boy?
Oh, yeah.
And you ladies out there, if you admit it, feelings tried to get you in trouble a few times, too. We ain't even going to go and talk about the times that succeeded on any of us. Amen?
Amen.
No, he wasn't talking about feelings. You know, what happens when you're at war? You're fighting. Do you know that before you came to Christ, you were at war with God? You were his enemy? You were marked as his enemy? What did Jesus say over in John 3? I have come not to condemn the world. Why? Because the world is already condemned. Why? Because they'd rather believe a lie than the truth. They prefer darkness to light. But when you change your heart and decide you want to know God and want to know His Son, Jesus Christ, and receive Him, then God offers you a peace treaty. And we're going to discuss that peace treaty tonight. Because without that peace treaty, there's no way you can cross the River Jordan. There's no way you can enter into that promised land. Now, that promised land isn't the great by and by. That doesn't represent, like they tell you in the Sunday school, oh, well, crossing over River Jordan, going into the promised land is like going to heaven. No, it's not. You don't have giants in heaven. Amen? You don't have to go conquer demons in heaven. It's right here and now. So you got to have that peace treaty signed. Now let me show you that peace treaty. God came to Abraham. And he made a covenant with Abraham. It was a covenant of faith, not law, not works, faith. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Amen? All right, this covenant of faith had to be signed in blood. Now, God, if anything, is fair. And God never asks anything of anybody that He would not do Himself. And when He makes a covenant, He asks nothing less of you than what He's going to give Himself. So, in the first certain time, He told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Isaac was the son of promise. Ishmael was the son of bondage. Amen? Sarah was the mother of Isaac. Um, Agar, thank you, was the mother of Ishmael. Does anybody know what Agar means? Huh? Tell them. Sinai. Mount Sinai. She was named after the mountain of the law before it even was. Isn't that interesting? Now the old man, remember last night I talked about the old man when Jesus said to Pharaoh, or told Moses to go to say to Pharaoh, Israel is my firstborn son, let him go. He's my firstborn. That one died in the desert, didn't he? Who was Abraham's firstborn son? Ishmael. Son of bondage. Huh? Isaac, son of promise. Isaac represented Joshua and those that went across the river. Ishmael, remember, was of Moses and all those that stayed in the desert. Have you ever wondered why there seems to be sometimes contradictions in the Word of God? Well, we know there aren't. It's just from imperfect understanding. There's never a contradiction in the Word. It's perfect from cover to cover. This covenant that God made with Abraham was a covenant of promise. It was the same covenant He made with Adam when He gave him the tree of life to eat. Told him, don't eat of the tree of knowledge. But Adam's seed disobeyed, or Adam disobeyed, and Abraham's seed disobeyed. So God put him in bondage in Egypt. Now, when you look at the story of the children of Israel throughout this, it's a beautiful story because it shows our life and God's purpose in us. Egypt is a type and shadow of the world. Pharaoh is a type and shadow of Satan. Now, before God could bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, He had to give them the Passover. Amen? And that Passover lamb was Jesus. Just as when God said, sacrifice Isaac, when Abraham had proved himself to God that he was going to do it, He provided the ram. Anybody know what that ram was? It was Jesus. Now see, God kept that bargain. He ordered Abraham to sacrifice his son, so God had to sacrifice His only begotten. But there was none greater to redeem Him. There was none greater to redeem Him. All right, that first thing that God gave him over there in Egypt, that blood. How many know that was a baptism? It was a baptism. Remember Nicodemus came to Jesus? Said there was a ruler, John chapter 3, there was a ruler of the synagogue named Nicodemus. The same came to Jesus by night, saying, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man doeth the works thou doest, save God be with him. Remember that? I always like the part, we know. Who's the we? Do you have a mouse in his pocket? No, it was all those other rulers that crucified him. They knew. They knew. Sunday school teacher says, Nicodemus came by night because he was afraid of the Jews. He wasn't afraid of the Jews. Because they knew he was of God. He didn't come there because he was afraid of the Jews. He came there to make a deal with Jesus by night so the people wouldn't know about it. Come join us. Come under us and do what we say and we'll make you king of Israel. That was the deal. Jesus cut him off before he ever had a chance. And churches don't seem to get it right. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he shall not, what? see the kingdom of God. So we got all these Christians running around. Oh, brother, are you born again? You know, you can't go to heaven unless you're born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. No, it isn't. Stupid. Now, I wonder, how can people be so stupid sometimes? Good thing there's a couple people aren't here. Anyway, my Bible teaches me that Jesus at all times answered perfectly. So when Nicodemus came up and said, Rabbi, we know, that is him and the other rulers, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man doeth the works thou doest except thou be with him, or God be with him. Nicodemus was not asking a question. He was making a statement saying, we know about the kingdom of God. Now, if Jesus had said, oh, Nicodemus, verily, verily, except you're born again, you can't go to heaven, then he'd been an idiot. Because his statement would have had absolutely nothing to do with what Nicodemus said. Amen? So what's he talking about? If Nicodemus made a statement about knowledge, then Jesus made a statement back about knowledge. Simple, huh? Nicodemus, you don't know what you're talking about, son. Unless you're born again, you cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. See what I mean? He wasn't talking about going to heaven. He was talking about understanding. Nicodemus proved the point. He turned right around. How can this be? I'm but an old man. Must I re-enter in my mother's womb and be born a second time? And there's his mother running down the street screaming her head off. Not me, you're not. I know I shouldn't talk like that. It's not proper. You know, I forgot to tell you something. For you new folks that are in here for the first time, if you came here looking for a good preacher, forget it. Go somewhere else. You ain't going to find one. I ain't good. Ask my wife. She lives with me. I'm a sinner, just like you are. Anybody says he's not a sinner, he's a liar. They tell you in preacher school, don't go around telling people you're a sinner. They won't respect you. And I said, wow, that's right. Good, I'll tell them I'm a sinner, and then they won't respect me. They'll respect Jesus. Huh? So anyway, Jesus shaking his head. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the Spirit and of the water, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Or the water and the Spirit, I think it was. Water and the Spirit. Now, see, there's a sequence there. There's a sequence. She just got it, I think. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Amen. Did you know the NIV doesn't have that in it? Do you know that? NIV took it out. Well, we don't want to understand that. I ain't going to tell you what I think NIV stands for. We'll just move right along. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the water, the Spirit, and the blood. These three agree in one. So we got two trinities, don't we? We got a trinity in heaven. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, right? We got a trinity on earth. A trinity of baptisms. Huh? So when the children of Israel were yet in Egypt, they had to apply they had to sacrifice the lamb that represented Jesus and take hyssop. Anybody know what hyssop is? What? It's a bitter herb. It's a weed. It grows like a weed. Anybody can get their hands on it. The poorest person can get a hold of it. and it's bitter. It represents the tongue. Do you know that? Represents the tongue. That bitter root. Huh? Isn't this neat? Somebody getting something here? They took this bitter root that represented their tongue, which is what? Everybody says the eyes is the doorway to the soul. Huh? Guess what's the doorway to your spirit? The tongue. That's why Jesus said, what cometh out of the mouth is what defiles the body, because what cometh out of the mouth cometh from the heart. And what's the heart? The so they take this bitter root weed and they dip it in that blood and they put it on the doorposts and lintels of the house. And what happens? When the angel of death comes through and sees the blood, he what? Passes over. And if he doesn't see the blood, what does he do? Kills the firstborn. Why? Because Abraham had to sacrifice his. Is that right? No, he represented that old man in the desert. The firstborn. Moses said to Pharaoh, let my children go. Let my people go. For Israel is my son. My firstborn. Huh? All right? You didn't hear that one before, did you? You got you. You thought I was going somewhere else. Praise God. I did too, tell you the truth. All right. So they had to be baptized in that blood. Now, what happens when you're baptized in the blood is you change sides. You see? You change sides. Now you become the children of God. Now He can tell you something. Anybody ever hear in the Old Testament where they talk about the Lord God of hosts? You hear that? You know what host means? Big dinner party? No, it means army. God is a God of armies. Did you know that? Now, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, aren't you? Huh? Yeah, I know that. You know when God looks at you, what does He see? A male. Did you know that? Well, is Jesus a woman or is He a male? Amen. If you're clothed in Jesus, then what does He see? A male. Do you realize that in Jesus Christ you have just as much authority as any man? A lot of churches try to teach that's not true. But if you are in Jesus, Gail, Satan sees a man. He doesn't see a woman. Hallelujah. But in this body, he'll see a woman. See? Now, we're going to get into some of that later, but let's stick to this right now. I'd get sidetracked real easy. All right, so the first thing he had to do is bring them into his community. And that's baptism of blood. When you confess Jesus Christ with your tongue as your Lord and Savior and confess your need for a Savior, see? And at that moment, you are born again of blood. This isn't, and your spirit isn't. It's your soul that is. I want to show you some stuff here. And if you get a handle on this, you're going to go home and you're going to be in prayer and it's going to hit you and you're going to start jumping and shouting and getting excited just like old Paul did down there in South Carolina when he went home and found his house empty. He didn't get upset. He didn't go berserk. A few months ago he would have. Amen. Got up the next morning, danced around the house, praised God. God was able to start showing him what he was doing. He'll put everything back together right. Amen.